The sound of I was could hear Kedzasha say Kura Mate and everybody else, and this sound connected the body to something that was kind of a light to his soul. In fact, there was a soul, the connection was made with the soul, and he was coming down. And what I was shown is that what is going to happen soon, it is in the process. The giant opened his eyes, and I remember they were blue, magnificent, clear blue, like aquamarine. And vision vanished. So, and then we had a conversation later on, all together with Ketsa Shah. And he said, something has activated. The giant is, no, not giant, Quetzalcoatl is coming back. He's coming back and it is in the process. He said that Quetzalcoatl is coming back and it is in the process. And Thorhan said as well, it is in the process.
There's another idea. The body is the avatar body. It was designed to live on Earth and exist on Earth. But the soul isn't in the body. All right? The soul's somewhere else. And I have a feeling, and I feel pretty strongly about this, that Enki has already made arrangements for boots on the ground to go and retrieve the seeds and return them to where they're supposed to be. You know, and what I mean by boots on the ground, other extraterrestrials who understand the significance of it. But the body itself is an avatar. The soul's not there. The soul is somewhere else, and it is coming back. But that particular body was designed or created for here.
Wow. So what do you think?
Yeah.
So what do you think about this being Quetzalcoatl or Kukulcan?
It's been prophesied he would return. It's been prophesied forever, and all the indigenous people that the giants would return.
You're listening to Exopolitics Today with Dr. Michael Sala, your source for the uncensored truth regarding the human, extraterrestrial, global, and political agenda. Click the like button and subscribe to this channel. And now, here's Dr. Michael Sala.
Welcome to Exopolitics Today. I'm joined by three very special guests. This is at the end of the Galactic Spiritual Informers Conference, and I'm joined by JP, Elena Danan, and Alex Collier. And we're going to be talking about something that was announced at the conference and some ceremonies, activation ceremonies that happened at the conference that concern this giant that JP saw in an underground location in Florida. And he conducted two missions there. And during the second mission, he says the ant people denied his team access because there was some missing seeds. And so he wasn't able to see the giant. So JP, maybe we can just start with you just going over that part of the second mission where you meet the ant people at the entrance to this cavern, and they say they're upset about something, and what do they have to say about the giant?
First of all, glad to be here, Doc. Elena, Alex, beautiful, beautiful, amazing conference. Amazing conference. And it's a mission that we had when we went to the cave system to meet up with the ant people. And as you said in the last interview that we had, they were really pissed off with us giving the seeds or taking the seeds somewhere else, because the seeds were supposed to be here in the United States, and now the seeds are not here, and the things that they have given us. And the location, I actually know about the location. We were talking about this earlier. We know that Europe has a new king. And that's where these things went.
Okay.
I'm guessing when the king asks for something, he gets what he wants.
Interesting. So the British crown, the new king, somehow had that kind of influence or authority to be able to have those seeds transported from the US.
Because, you know, being a king is a generational thing. It goes back, the bloodline goes back a long time. And they know about these things. They know about this, what they have, what the inner earth population have, and the ant people have. And they know about this sleeping giants, sleeping kings that are asleep. Because in their eyes, these sleeping giants are kings. They were like kings. So it's understandable that another king would want something that comes from a sleeping king that is not awake yet.
Very interesting. The kind of divine right of kings somehow translates into human kings having some kind of rights over sleeping giants that were kings as well.
Yes.
So your mission was to find out the identity of this giant. So how far did you get in terms of asking the ant people about him, his identity?
Well, I did not clearly get that information from the ant people. They told me that he was really important. And maybe you can show the picture that I drew. Maybe Alana could explain what she felt, who was this magnificent king that the ant people was protecting.
Yeah, thank you for that picture. We'll put it into the video that shows this sleeping king. So you were told by the ant people that he was very important.
And that they were protecting him and Stasis.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we couldn't go back after we took the seeds.
Okay. So that was what you found out in the first mission. Like in the second mission, that you said that you were supposed to find out who he was,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't even get that far because they were so upset about the seeds.
They put us in this room that had like a marble seat. We sat in that room, and I remember me telling you that these orbs, they were coming in and reading us and feeling what we were feeling. And they knew who was genuine, who was trustworthy, and who had a lot of love. So these orbs were coming in and out from that room that they had us in. And whoever was doing the negotiation, it wasn't letting nobody in.
Okay. So the negotiators didn't have the right vibe, and so the ant people just said, go away.
Get the hell out of here.
Okay, all right. So that mission didn't succeed in finding out anything more about that sleeping giant. So then now we move forward to a conversation I had with Alana Danan while we were in Tennessee. And I think we were visiting a cave, Alana,
yes.
Wasn't it? And I think it might have been the Lost City cave there in Tennessee, in East Tennessee. And you had a communication with Thorhan. So tell us what happened.
Yes, we were having this conversation about this mysterious sleeping giant and somewhere under Florida. We do not know the location. And I received a communication from Thorhan, which happens randomly. I never know when it's going to happen. So I told you I was in contact with Thorhan. I just made connection via my implant device. And I offered you to ask him questions. So you asked him, what does he know about this giant, sleeping giant we're talking about? And you asked him, so first he told you that he was one of Enki scientists. When Enki left, some scientists on Earth to take care of humanity and to make sure that certain knowledge would be hidden in sacred places. that I think we can safely call these places the halls of records. This person, this specific scientist, was coming from Atlantis. He was in Atlantis. And he went to the Americas, north and south, to hide there knowledge, technology, something. And Thorman said that. And you asked, could he tell us the name of this scientist? So I asked Thorhan to repeat a few times because I had difficulty to hear. I wanted to make sure. And I told you I heard something like Ningishka, Ningishza, Ningishza, something like this. I wasn't sure. And, well, once home, I checked on internet and I told you, oh my God, there is actually, there was an Anunnaki named Ningishzida, who was a scientist, and his name means the god of the good tree, or the tree of life. And in Ningishzida, you have also the word vine. And when I heard red vine, I heard that already. And I remember that in one of your latest interviews with JP, JP mentioned vine, something related to this tree. This sleeping giant somewhere underground Florida is beside the tree, a tree of life, a tree that gives life and that drips water, that is giving youth and regenerating DNA. And JP described, I see if I remember well, that the roots were like vine. So everything was like, oh my God.
Amazing. So one of the things Thorhan said was that this sleeping giant was one of four remaining Anunnaki scientists that had gone into stasis.
Yes.
After the Great Flood and after Enki left. And I think we asked Thorhan, well, why didn't they leave with Enki? And why don't you explain what Thorhan said to that?
Thorhan said that this scientist left to make to help humanity, to look after humanity, because Enki has had lost the conflict, the battle with his half-brother Enlil. I mean, Enki was a scientist, and all his friends, his colleagues were scientists as well. They were not warships, they were chiefs, and they were not military, so they couldn't fight. And Lil, who was the chief of armies and had all the armies with him. So this scientist decided to stay on Earth to look after the people and try to help them, but also to take care of preserving this ancient knowledge and technology to some secret places. And they put themselves in stasis, waiting the moment, hoping for the moment when humanity would evolve and raise in frequency and kicked out the regressives, and Enki could come back. And when Enki would be able to come back, when the faction of Enlil would be defeated, and Enki so then would be able to come back, so then these sleeping scientists would be able to reconnect to their soul and wake up and bring this knowledge to the world, help bring this knowledge to the world. That's what Thorhan said.
Okay, so this is a time when these sleeping scientists would be awakened and they would bring back all of this ancient knowledge.
Yes.
That had been suppressed.
Yes.
Okay.
That's my beautiful poetry.
And Alex, now...
Yes, Dr. Song.
With these giants or these Anunnaki that were left behind, that were geneticists, that when you were given information from the Andromedans about the Anunnaki, did you hear about them having left behind some of their scientists in stasis? Well, what do you know about these Anunnaki geneticists that were working with Enki? And, of course, the power struggle between Enki and Enlil that led to this kind of departure and some staying and some leaving.
Well, they weren't specific about them being on the Earth, but they did say that they were in our solar system and there were several moons and craft that were left behind. Now, there is a very large mining craft in the A ring of Saturn. It is maintained by automatons. And apparently the original crew is in stasis there. And I do not know if that's some of the scientists, but I was told there were at least seven on board that ship. Now this goes back quite a few years. But you cannot go near it. You can't go anywhere near the craft because it has a defense system, and the automatons will protect it as well. And what I mean by automatons are like human robots, okay? But they're made of a polymer, so they move very well. They have agility and athletic skills. They're the ones who do the maintenance, make sure everything's still running, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the only reason to leave it there is that at some point they expect to turn it on and wake up the crew. That would be the only reason to leave it here. Mm-hmm. Just as it would be for them going into stasis here underground, somewhere on the Earth, it's because they expect at some point to be awakened or to awaken themselves. There's no other reason to stay here. Mm-hmm. You know, if that wasn't true, they wouldn't be here. They would have gone.
Well, one of the things that Fulhan said, Elena, that kind of takes us to something that happened at this conference that was very meaningful, was Fulhan said that this Anunnaki scientist, Ningish Zida, was known in the Americas as Quetzalcoatl, Viracocha, Kukulcan. So,
yes, we were having this Q&A with Thorhan, and you asked him, was he also named Viracocha? And Thorhan said, yes. And I went, okay. And Viracocha is Kukulcan and Quetzalcoatl. I mean, it's the same. So that was very impressive to find out after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's another possibility. Maybe the reason they stayed here is because when Enki left prematurely, Enlil would not allow them to go on his ship and leave with the rest of the Anunnaki. In other words, they were intentionally left behind by Enlil, mm-hmm, because they worked for his brother, and if they're geneticists as well, then they would have helped him. So he would have resented their presence, especially after the fallout between him and Enki.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah.
So they had to go into crisis. That was the only way they could stay.
Yeah, the way the Ant people were protecting the temple, mm-hmm, and protecting, it was like really sacred. Like they're protecting him and waiting for him to wake up.
Okay.
And you know that inside the box, like you said, it could be thousands of years, but for him it could be 2 days or 3 days that passes by. And I know that soon he might be already if something happened that is really interesting.
Yeah, well, let's get to that. Let's talk about that kind of something happened at this event, and kind of like just to give people an idea was that when we were doing one of the pre-conference panel discussions with Danny, she had a number of speakers there, and one was Ketsa Shah, and I asked him, well, there's a phrase that JP heard repeated when the Aztec Indians from Mexico went into the Atlantic space art, and that they were singing and dancing a Curia Mate, and we didn't know what it meant. But when I interviewed, or when we were doing this interview for this conference that's just finished, this Quetzal Shah, I asked him, what does Akuriamate mean? And he said that it means the heaven, from the heaven, a portal from the heavens to the earth. And so what was it that we did with Quetzal Shah at the conference that you found interesting in terms of activating this giant.
We all feel something beautiful, a type of activation. I know Elena had a download in that particular moment when everybody, like almost 1,200 people, were saying Akuriamate at the same time. Opening up a portal of some sort to a location or to a place to activate something. And hearing how he was doing it on stage, it was the same way the little Mexicans were doing it, going into the Ark, the Aztec Mexicans, Indians. They were shaking. And Curia, Mate, Curia. And they were like this, dancing into the Ark. And it was hilarious because we were like, oh shit, look at the Chinese. They're going really slow. And look at them, they're going inside. So the Chinese were pissed off because they could not go inside. But now it's understandable that in order to enter a portal or to enter a realm, you also need to be with it. Say it. You need to say it to activate it. If you're not saying shit, I'm sorry, you're not going to go nowhere. Mm-hmm. So there's certain, I don't know if I can say spells or certain kind of words. I don't know, maybe Elena know more about the spiritual part of this, but we don't give a shit. We're just there to do our job, you know? We get sent what we're sent to do a mission, and we do our mission. But that's what I saw, and that's what I felt. And it's the same thing. It's kind of the same thing what I felt in the Ark. It was amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. So that's very interesting that this Mexican Aztec shaman was dancing and singing Akuriamate exactly like you saw on the art. So Elena, you had an experience, you know, you saw something, or I guess you had a communication.
Yes.
When that ceremony was happening, you know, with 900 people, and so tell us what happened.
Well, first, as a druid myself, I discovered a lot of similarity in the way the druids practice opening portal rituals with the Mayans. I had this discussion later on with Quetzalcoatl, as I was quite receptive to what he was doing, and I was conscious he was opening a portal. And when I heard the words, I thought about JP, you know what he said, and I, oh my God, Quetzalcoatl is really opening a portal. And there were near to 1,000 people in this room repeating all together, Akuria Mate. We were all that, and we raised our hands to the sky, and it was absolutely powerful, and something happened. I could feel the ground vibrating. And we are in Florida as we're speaking today, and that is around somewhere in Florida that is not here, but somewhere else that this giant is.
It's close enough.
Yeah, close enough. No coincidence. So I was feeling these things, and my implant went ping. Thorhan, yeah, good moment. And he showed me images. Actually, it doesn't click. He showed me images and a vision, very powerful vision, as if I was there. Honestly, it's like my consciousness was transported there. And I saw this from the trunk to the bottom of the head, elongated skull, white person, high cheekbones, straight nose, a beard that was put around his neck. It was so long. And top of the clothes was glittery, white or grey glittery. And there was the sound of, could hear Quetzalcoatl say, Akura Mate, and everybody else. And this sound connected the body to something that was kind of a light, to his soul, in fact. There was a soul, the connection was made with the soul, and he was coming down. And what I was shown is that what is going to happen soon, it is in the process, the giant opened his eyes. And I remember they were blue, magnificent, clear blue, like aquamarine.
Mm-hmm.
And vision vanished. So, and then we had a conversation later on, all together with Quetzal Shah. And he said, something has activated. The giant is, Quetzalcoatl is coming back. He's coming back, and it is in the process. He said that. Quetzalcoatl is coming back, and it is in the process. And Thorhan said as well, it is in the process. So
like, if we go like in a scientist view, if that box is really controlled by time, maybe a blink of an eye could be months in our time. So his eyes are probably still open and closing and opening, and probably trying to wake up. So because time runs different there.
Mm-hmm.
So this can happen anytime about him waking up. So we feel.
So
there's another idea. The body is the avatar body. It was designed to live on Earth and exist on Earth. But the soul isn't in the body. All right. The soul's somewhere else. And I have a feeling, and I feel pretty strongly about this, that Enki has already made arrangements for boots on the ground to go and retrieve the seeds and return them to where they're supposed to be.
Holy shit.
You know, and what I mean by boots on the ground, other extraterrestrials who understand the significance of it. But the body itself is an avatar. The soul's not there. The soul is somewhere else, and it is coming back. But that particular body was designed or created for here.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what do you think?
Yeah.
So what do you think about this being Quetzalcoatl or Kukulkan?
It's been prophesied he would return. It's been prophesied forever, and all the indigenous people, that the giants would return. And that's been known for a very, very long time. I believe even Edgar Casey said it.
Mm-hmm.
That the giants would return or would wake up. Yeah.
One of the things we kind of like covered in the conference was the idea of the alchemical practices coming back, and these giants, and particularly Ningishida, I mean, he was the god of the good tree and of the vines, and he was an alchemist, and we know Enki's an alchemist. So what do you think that means for the common person?
I think they're going to reteach us the ancient holistic medicines, the earth medicines, that which the indigenous people practiced for thousands of years, but then a lot of that's been lost because they were trying to kill them all off. I think they're going to come back and teach us the old ways. You know, medicine from the earth, you know. I mean, they're the ones who taught us that stuff in the first place.
And that could explain that these seeds are probably extinct seeds that we used to have on Earth, on the upper side of Earth.
Right. They could be medicinal plants for all we know.
So maybe that's why the king wants it, or it makes a lot of sense.
Well, Charles is in a lot of trouble anyway, so it would be leverage.
Mm.
He could leverage the fact that he has them to try to cut a deal. I mean, deep state operates like that all the time.
Well, Michael, you mentioned in one of your videos the fountain of youth that was sought after in Florida by ancient explorers.
Yeah, well, Ponce de Leon is known to have searched for the fountain of youth, and you know, the myth was created because there was some knowledge that there was a tree somewhere that did something or well, the Fountain of Youth, a mythical tree of life, and it seems that he had heard about it and that the Indian traditions at the time talked about this. Maybe now it doesn't, but we know now, based on what JP saw, that that tree of life...
That tree was amazing. Let me tell you, Doc. That tree had straws that feeds from the river, and then it comes back, and the sap is so red. It's similar to that those trees from Madagascar. And when you cut them, it bleeds.
Now that's interesting. Now, it said there were four giants? Okay,
surviving.
So let's look at the indigenous people of South America. What other cultures are that old and did similar type of healing? The Indians of India, Ayurvedic medicine. Okay, we know that the ancient gods all practiced that, and they were all the same. They were very, I think, in many ways, they were the exact same people, but they had different names because of the different languages of the cultures. But the medicine is similar, very similar. So it may be that another one of the giants is in stasis somewhere in India with seeds. And then what would be the other? It would be China. Could be one of those pyramids that they won't let anybody near. Okay, with seeds. And, you know, then we're looking at either the United States or Indonesia, where they practice the same kind of medicine. They would scatter them around to make sure that they would all survive. You would never put them in all one place.
So what do you think is going to happen now that this giant has been activated? And whether he's Quetzalcoatl, Viracocha, Ningish Zida, what do you think is going to happen
boots,
now?
Boots on the ground, just like Alex said.
Boots on the ground, so you think that there's going to be an intervention here by... some of the Enki faction?
Yeah, sure.
Well, okay. It would make sense that Enki wouldn't want to come down here because it would cause a massive rift within the family. Okay, but that doesn't mean he couldn't ask for a favor from other extraterrestrials that are here working with the Alliance. Mm-hmm. Here's what you need to do. Here's how you do it. You know, they've done other things like that, and they're here to help us anyway. Could be that they would be there when the giant Quetzalcoatl wakes up, they would be there, you know, and say, hey, you know, here's who we are. We understand what you're doing. We need to move you from here and take you someplace where you'd be safe. And the first thing the giant's going to do is, where are the seeds?
So far the ants mess them up,
huh? Okay.
Right? Because he went to sleep with them.
Wow.
And he's going to want to know where they are.
So you think there was a deal in between King Charles
and the Freemasons?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Charles needs leverage in order to protect his family and himself. I mean, he is who he is, you know. But, you know, that's how they operate. They've always operated that way. Leverage, could be children, could be blackmail. This is all they've done. You know, for 1,000 years they've done this crap.
So when Enki left, Enlil took his scientists, or took his people with him, and they left Earth, and they left behind a few people to manage things. And I think one of them was Enlil's son, Nintag. So, and I believe he's still around, or... Yes,
I would bet he's in India. I would bet anything he's in India.
I've been told it's still around.
Okay. India. We got also Brazil. Brazil's right now going through a situation right now, political.
Yeah, right, Brazil.
They got Lula or Bolsonaro that's going to win right now. So something's going on over there, you know.
Interesting. And that's a better choice than Indonesia. Brazil, the rainforest.
It's got an arc over there. In the middle of Brazil.
What I think happened was he left because it was a shitstorm. And I guess Enki assumed that the rest were going to be lifted off, you know, and that's not what happened at all, you know. And Lil, being in Lil, pitched a shit and just said, you're on your own, and left them. So the only thing they could do was go into stasis, because the humans, they were probably concerned the humans would hunt them. Because that's what they were doing to the Nephilim. They were hunting the Nephilim because they were cannibals.
Mm. I think that was happening with the situation that we're dropping mothers of all bombs in Afghanistan.
And that woke up that other giant.
Yeah.
Yep. And he, well.
I remember Dr. You wrote an article about that.
Yeah, Afghanistan giants. Yeah.
About Moldavites. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Moabites.
The Moabites.
The mother of all bombs. That was the kind of cover for them seeking Moabites in Afghanistan.
Yeah. And Moabites means giants.
Yeah, yeah, the giants. In so this, I think we covered this, or you mentioned this in the communication with beforehand, that this, the son of Enlil was left behind.
Yes.
And he's kind of operating behind the scenes.
Yes.
In his full body.
Yes.
So you want to tell
surprised.
Us what that means?
I was surprised to hear from Thoran that he's not under a human form, but in his Anunnaki body, in an Anunnaki body of his. Because, you know, they survive that long because they can swap bodies, clothes on themselves.
There we go.
He's awake.
He's awake and he's
wow.
Operating behind the scene, actually at the deep root or top of the pyramid of the deep state, and working with the Freemasons. He's behind the scene, and he's still here. And
here, as in what, the states, or he's in Europe?
On the planet.
Just on the planet.
On the planet. I wasn't told where on the planet. He's on the planet, physically hiding and hunted.
Yeah, I would think so. Because that's leverage. He'd be leverage.
So it's interesting. So, like, I believe it was Ninurta was the son of Enlil, and Marduk was the son of Enki.
Yeah.
And both of them kind of competed, I think, for dominance of the
It was a family thing.
Yeah.
So to what extent is this family feud just going to reemerge?
And what book is Zachariah Sitchin? He talks about this.
All of them.
Yeah. All of them, right?
All of them. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Wow.
Okay, well, so
good. What is the Indian book of the Indian history of the gods?
The
Mahabharata?
Yes, that's it. The very same story is in that book that Sitchin writes about, but the names are different of the players because they spoke a different language. You know, it was Tamil or Sanskrit.
Wow.
The fight of the two brothers is a common worldly myth. You find it in most all the cultures. Zeus and Poseidon.
Yes.
Thor
exactly.
And Enki, and sorry, Loki. You know, so many cultures, Osiris and Seth, everywhere. Everybody, that they must have done so much havoc on Earth, that everybody.
Well, I don't think just here.
Yeah.
I mean, that argument would have carried on wherever they went.
Yeah.
You know.
So what do you think lies ahead now? I mean, with the awakening of this giant in Florida, being told that the deep state is on the run, they're about to collapse. So do you think this heralds a really good thing? And what do we make of this kind of remaining son of Enlil operating behind the shadows? Or is he a kind of spanner in the works?
They're going to find him.
So what do you think will happen? They're going to find him?
Probably, because, you know, the deep state is dramatically losing power.
Yeah, they're relentless. They won't stop.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Enlil coming here and playing games, there's too many witnesses. There's way too many witnesses. All these other star nations here, he's not going to do it in front of them. No way. No way. He's going to have to capitulate. You know, it may resume at some other point, but it won't resume here. you know, between him and his brother.
So I want to shift gears, unless anyone has anything else to say about this, to Saturn, because there was something JP reminded me about that I forgot, which was that there was some stories about that there was a moon that crashed into Saturn, that was covered in the mainstream media. And you had told me that you had done a mission to Saturn, but couldn't tell me anything more about it.
And then, we went to the vicinity of Saturn.
Okay.
But this mission, I can't say nothing about it now. Something connected to Earth. But I know that this moon, everybody was tracking. Nobody knew. I know it had something negative on it. Nobody knows what it was. The way it went into Saturn, we could probably share that later on, but now it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people went down.
Okay. Great.
I'd be curious to know, did it enter somewhere close to the North Pole of Saturn? Okay, now that's
the reason Saturn got tilted.
Okay. Because, you know, when they turn on CERN, the portal, they have it aimed at the North Pole of Saturn. That's where they're trying to open up the portal. Is at the North Pole, the hexagonal opening, the top of Saturn?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's aimed at.
Mm-hmm.
They've done that since day one. It's almost as if they're trying to open it to get something or release something that's inside.
Now, you actually had some information as well about Saturn, about what was on Saturn and what might have been destroyed, or what this story of a moon crashing into Saturn might have been a cover of.
Well, I just asked the question, you know, maybe it wasn't a moon. It may have looked like a moon, but, you know, a lot of the moons and very large asteroids in our solar system are ancient craft.
Yeah, we know they're all crafts.
You know, and they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, was it a rescue mission? Were they trying to open the portal themselves? I mean, it's very difficult to say, but, you know, when you look at that and where it crashed, and you look at the idea that CERN is clearly pointed, which they've even said in their notes, the notes that were between scientists moving around, they were trying to, when they turn on CERN, it is pointed at the North Pole of Saturn. That's been known for years.
Very interesting.
That can't be a coincidence.
I know David Icke was always talking about the Moon-Saturn-Earth connection, that was somehow part of the control system. So I'm wondering if, you know, whatever it was that crashed into Saturn was a White Hat initiative, Earth Alliance, maybe JP's mission, whatever clarity you could have on that.
Maybe it's an AI system. Maybe it's an extension of the Orion AI system that's there. You know, and maybe the moon that they sent, or craft, was there to try to hit it and knock it out. You know, so there wouldn't be this massive loss of life. And I mean, there's so many different possibilities, you know.
Yeah, I've had some information that I shared with you right here. When I used to, I've been a few times on a ship with Thorvan, and always Saturn was to be avoided, and he was always saying, this is not territory of the Galactic Federation, we cannot approach. And it was really a secret. I could never know what was there, and I was respecting this. Until last year, where all these wars into this star system touch an end, when the Orion Greys were kicked out and the reptilians from the star system. So then they could tell me a bit more. Then, you know, there was this machine on our moon, the Earth moon, that was broadcasting a certain type of frequencies to lock the frequencies on Earth. And this machine that was on the moon, I was told during the year 2021, I think it was February, maybe, I'm not sure, it was taken back by the Earth Alliance and the Federation militarily. The moon was liberated, and this machine, which was an Orion Gray technology, was taken and dismantled. And then at that moment, I was told that this machine was relaying a signal coming from Saturn. And a little bit after, I was told that there was a black cube on somewhere, either on Saturn or one of the moons. Then I learned that it was on one of the moons. This black cube was Orion Gray technology. That was an emitter that was sending something very bad and dark to the Earth moon, and that was bouncing it to Earth. And I had this, I was given this vision that Saturn, the planet Saturn, was the thing that was enhancing the signal and giving it power. And I was given this vision of Saturn covered like a dark black goo web or all around it, like if the whole planet Saturn was like, yes, like a spider web, like, you know, black.
You know what's so funny? That when I was talking with Doc, I was telling him the same thing.
Oh.
And you confirmed it.
During your mission, during your Saturn mission, you saw some of this.
You saw that too? Oh, well.
Now, you said something also about Enki.
So this Orion Gray technology was on Saturn, and it's one moon. Thorhan told me that the Orion Grays had agreements with Enlil's faction of Enki, and the moon was Enlil territory, Enlil faction, Anunnaki territory. And since Enlil has lost power in the star system, he's been Enki said neutralized. I don't know what the extension of what it means, neutralized. Funnily, Enki is back in a big spherical ship that they call Nibiru, in the vicinity of Saturn, between Saturn and Jupiter, but closer to the rings of Saturn, because it's still Anunnaki territory. But now, it's not under the rulership of Enki, gone. It's not under the rulership of Enlil, but it's still Anunnaki zone. So Enki can come and stay there with his ship at the moment. So, yeah. What do you think, Alex?
You know, the Muslims say that their God is supposed to come out of the black cube in Mecca. It's always been the story that it would open up and the God would step out. Now, could that be Enlil's son? Could he be in the black cube?
Could be.
And cryo or something?
Well, that's a bomb right there. So, Ninurta, the son of...
Ninurta?
Of Enlil.
The son of Enlil? Could be in that cube. Wow.
And they protect that, right? Like, that's like,
oh my God.
That's like,
you know.
Okay. Well.
And we know that Enlil played Allah.
Sorry,
we're gonna make enemies here, but he played Jehovah. Enlil played Jehovah. Played Allah. He played every time that he played often a god that would cause division and wars.
Mm-hmm. Well, suppose the sun was played Jehovah.
Yeah, okay.
Suppose it was the sun.
Okay.
Well.
Wow.
Interesting times ahead. So, well.
That makes a lot of sense. Oh, wow.
Shall we wrap it up? Any kind of final comments before we finish? Should we say optimistic, or is this just kind of like
Everything's optimistic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, all these things have to play out, and revelations are good.
I got more missions coming up, you know? It's not like shit is in the fan over there where I'm at right now. They're calling everybody back.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm over here and something's happening over there that is really important, that I really need to be there. That's what I feel right now.
Well, the Russians are saying that they have satellite photographs that a nuke, an undetonated nuke, is somewhere in Ukraine. And of course, that would be the deep state.
Right.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
No.
But then again, that could all be a distraction for something else that's going on, because we're very, very good at that.
Well, at least one big takeaway is that now we know the name of the giant under that cabin in Florida, that he's awakening, he's the god of the good tree, of alchemy, of the vines, and this information is destined to come out again. And at the very least, those that practice the alchemical arts, they're going to be really kind of supported, I think.
And let me tell you something, this moon hitting Saturn really put the solar system out of whack. You know, all affecting Sirius, affecting the asteroid belt. The reason NASA is sending these ships crashing into asteroids and shit. There's a lot of things coming our way.
You know, that isn't going to help anything. They have plenty of ships up there that could just blow these asteroids up. You know, or just bump them and move them into another direction, send them in the opposite direction. So I personally think that's just a fear tactic. I think NASA's next to useless. They always have been. But there's just too many other, there are too many other assets here. And I think if something were to happen with Saturn and it would open up, it is my belief that you guys would be acting as support as opposed to being at the front of the line, because this is over your head. You have no experience dealing with this, but the other races, the boots on the ground, they have. They know all about the Anunnaki and how they operate. So, and as far as Mecca and the other places where the other giants must be, I'm sure they know. I'm sure they know where they are, you know. And if I were Enki, I would make a deal to make sure that the seeds get back. And he's only going to trust boots on the ground, because they could probably walk in and negotiate with the Ant people, where we're not going to have that much luck.
Not now.
No, trust has been broken. So it would have to be someone new.
Well, thank you, Alex and Elena and JP. Really amazing information, and yeah, hopefully find out more soon. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Elena. Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
I love.
You have been listening to Exopolitics Today with Dr. Michael Sala. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe to this channel. Join or start a conversation in the comments. Take the time to explore the vast library of best-selling books, webinars, and podcasts by Dr. Sala. Visit exopoliticstoday.com.